All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3. Had a very interesting start to this morning. About a little bit after 8 o'clock, I received a phone call from a man who told me that I'd met him some weeks back and had introduced myself, and I didn't recognize the man's name, his wife's name, or the children. And most of the time, if I meet you at church and you tell me your name, most of the time one of the names will stick until I get to really know the family. But none of them really stood out. And we got to talking, and he had been through some troubles and trials in his life. His mother had been killed in an automobile accident last week, and they'd been to Florida for the funeral. And he was trying to clean out her belongings and things, and was headed home because he just couldn't do it any longer. Car tore up on the side of the interstate, and I was the only one he could think to call. Well, I couldn't remember him. He said, because my mother was dead, so I called you. Couldn't remember the man, and I'm praying the whole time, Lord, reveal to me if this is on the up and up. Well, I called Stephen after I got off the phone with the man because I thought maybe he had met him here at the church or something or another and might have remembered him. Sandra didn't remember him. I didn't remember him. And he said, well, he didn't remember him and didn't remember the family being here. And so I called the man back and got to talking to him. I said, well, just where exactly did we meet? And he said, you know, that little church. I thought, okay, that's very vague. I'm not going to say the name of the church because I want to make sure what little church we met at. And so he says, you know, say we live on Sparta Road in McGrady. I said, sir, I don't pastor in Wilkes County any longer. They still have my contact information for the other church. The conversation went no further. He hung up the phone, and that was the end of the conversation. So I guess he decided he didn't need as much help getting home as he thought he did. But anyway, it was very interesting, and we could have handled the situation, and we asked God to reveal and pray about things, and that's the way we have to be about things, and not just react sometimes. But we need to also not be condemned in our soul because we don't do the things that God would instruct us to do and to be able to be a help. If they truly needed help, it wouldn't have mattered what church it was. God would, if he put us together, then we'd been able to. But when he hung up like that, I figured he didn't stand in greatest need as he thought he did to start with. But that was just kind of interesting. Maybe your days start like that. And and sometimes we don't realize the burdens of others because that's not the first time I've got calls like that. Many times, you've got to discern and you've got to see which ones are truly in need or which ones might just be trying to get help that don't really stand in need of the help. And that's where God has to intervene and show you, and by the dividing of the Word and by the discernment of the Spirit. And God's Spirit will never lead you in the wrong way. Amen. Now, if he'd truly been in help and needed help and God put it on our heart to do that, then we'd been able to help him to get them back home. But when he realized he had the wrong preacher, that was it. So anyway, I pray that they get back home. I pray it wasn't just some scam, that if he truly needs help, that he does get in contact with the one he thought he was calling this morning. So be much in prayer for that family, and God knows who they are. And there's many other instances like that all across this land and country of people that are in need and needing help. But in James chapter 3 this morning, as we grow up, it had been very easily to have offended this gentleman by making the comments, well, I don't know you, don't remember you, and you're no worry of mine because I'm not sure who you are or anything else. But with prayer and God working things out, we found out the situation. But in offending others, it's very easily. Today in the world that we live, people get offended. And if you don't believe it, you see how many people are trying to be so politically correct not to offend any in deed or word or anything that's being said. When it comes to the Word of God, we don't need to worry about it offending, because if it offends us through the Word of God, then we need to line up and fit the mold of the Word of God and try to be bridled by the Word and by the wisdom that God gives us. So James chapter 3, first verse, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Isn't it funny how quick our tongue can get us in trouble? I mean, we can say words and they can't be taken back. It's like throwing a rock. Once it's thrown, you can't pull it back. If it hits its target you're aiming at, there's no taking away that injury that's there. It's just like our words. When we open our mouth and let this little member that's small in our body but yet is set on fire by hell, it tells us that in God's Word. Many times we don't control it. We don't bridle it. We just let it spout off and make comments and do things that are hurtful and harmful to others. And we need to be very careful about our tongue, because we don't offend in word, we are a perfect man, it says here, if any man offend not in word. There have probably been times that I've offended and not meant to. Things that we've said that we just really thought was things that ought to be said at the time. But later on, thinking about it, maybe it was things that shouldn't have been brought up or said. And like I've said before, because I have an opinion, it's not always wise that maybe that I give that opinion. So we need to try to bridle this tongue. And it's very hard. Breaking a horse is much easier than bridling the tongue of man and allowing God to have the reins to the mouth that we have. He gave us two fences. I've always told you this. He gave us a pair of lips and a set of teeth, and we need to keep those closed that the tongue won't get out and do damage that we can never be totally repaired, or that hurt that might not be ever be able to be totally forgiven that we can do by this tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, we used to have some horses back in the middle 80s, and we had one, her name was Ginger, and she was a gentle horse. I can't remember what the other one was. It was kind of the same makeup, same height and all, and they were good little horses. They were small size, but, you know, they were good for learning how to ride. Well, one day I was riding that one named Ginger, and she decided that she was going back to the barn, and I didn't want to go, but she did. And she got that bit stuck back behind her and back of her teeth, and she bit down on it, and it didn't matter how hard I pulled and which direction I tried to pull, she wasn't going where I wanted to go. She went under trees that were lower than we were and scraped my belly against them limbs trying to get me off her back. She rubbed up against fences. She tried her best to get rid of me, and I couldn't turn her whole body even though there was a bit there, because she set her teeth against it. And she bit down, and she wasn't going to be reined in. She wasn't going to be led the way that I was wanting to go. And sometimes as Christians, we do the same way. God has the bit in our mouth, and He's wanting to rule us and tame us and control what we say and what we do, but we get the bit set in our teeth, and we're not willing to give to God. We're not willing to yield to the pull to the left or to the right, which way we're needing to go for God. We set our teeth and we're headstrong that we're going in our direction, and it doesn't matter. We're not going to heed the pull from the Master. Also in verse 4 it says, behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You ever looked at a ship and how it's constructed? Oh man, they've built some huge, huge vessels. Displace a lot of water. I mean, you look at an aircraft carrier, and you look at what turns that aircraft carrier in the water. And with all that it has that's upon it, all the men, all the machinery and the different things, but you look at the size of the steering components of that great ship. Most of the time, in comparison to the ship, they're very small. The big things of God is not what steers our life. It's the small things that we're obedient in that steers our life for God. It's not the big times when catastrophe hits that we heed to Him and call upon Him. It's in the time of the small things that we hear Him speak to us and that we're obedient, that our ship is steered in the right direction. That we become obedient in the good times as well as the bad. That we get close to God no matter what time in our life it is, that we get closer to God. And that we allow Him to be the governor that listeth our boat. That we allow Him to control it. And we allow Him to bring us into His safe harbor. There's winds and storms in this life that beat against us and the waves crash against our vessel. But God is there to steady it. He is the anchor. He is the compass. He is the map. He is the captain. He is the one that needs to be in total control of our life. It says, even so, in verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You ever seen these people that they're so great they break their arm patting themselves on the back? What's one that really sticks out in your mind that was great in the 70s? Him and Howard Cosell went at each other quite a bit talking back and forth. Oh, I am the greatest. Oh, I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. He was a very boastful man about his abilities. A lot of times he backed it up. Sometimes he couldn't. But he was very boastful. He was confident in the things that he said, and he built himself up, and he believed the things that he was saying. When you witness about God, do you believe the things you're saying? Do you believe the whole word of God, or is our tongue set on fire, kindled, or the little member set on fire, and how much trouble it kindles? Do we lift up the church, or do we run it down? Do we pray for the leaders of our country, or do we talk about them? We all talk. They should do this, they should do that. We're all experts. But we need to be talking to the one who is the expert, God the Father, that He would humble their hearts. We need to pray that they would see that in man's wisdom, we don't know it all. We think we do, but we don't even know the question most of the time to the true wisdom of God, because we don't know what God's wisdom is because we've not searched it out in His Word. We're quick to spout off things that we say is in the Word of God, but we don't know if they are. We need to find out and make sure if we're going to say that it comes from God's Word, it actually comes from God's Word. We need to read and study, and we don't need to be set on fire of the fires of hell on our tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I'm a Christian. I don't give Satan no room. Do you gossip? You giving Satan room? Or do you praise? When God puts a word on your mouth to testify, do you do it? If you don't, then your spirit's being quenched, the Holy Spirit's being quenched, with God's moving in your heart and you don't speak out. You're making hell happy. You're making Satan happy. But our tongue, do we tell dirty jokes? Do we get around the water cooler and say, oh, nobody at church will know? God knows. Amen. God knows. God knows. Do we talk about our friends and our neighbors? Do we go to work and talk about our spouses and run them down? And then when we go home, we're all lovey-dovey and everything's fine? That's not pleasing to God. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. How quick our tongues can get us in trouble. How quick our tongues can cause hurt that is very hard sometimes to ever get forgiveness for. Many times, as we talked yesterday, we have to give forgiveness that we may go forward as Christians. Even though someone may not ask for it, that our hearts not be set on fire from hell as well because of holding that bitterness, that anger, that resentment, that hurt. We have to leave it and give it to Jesus and truly leave it with Him. That it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Like I was talking about the horses, as they're tame, as they're broken to ride. Some has a fiery spirit, and when you first get on their back, you know that they're alive because they go to bucking, they go to kicking, they try to get you off their back. But once their spirit is broken and they are tamed, they are able to be ridden. But many of us as Christians, we will not allow God to tame us. We're like that bronc that needs to be broken. We kick and we snort and we stomp and we jump around and we say, God, I'm not going to do that. I didn't sign up for that. I'm saved and that's all I want. Don't ask me to do no more. And we won't allow God to tame us and use us. But we see that we tame these things for our service, but we won't allow God to tame us for His. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Have you ever thought about that? That little member of your body that lies between your teeth and your lips there, that is a deadly poison. There's more than one way to kill someone. You don't have to take a gun or a knife or a sword or some way and kill someone. There's deadly poison in our tongues, and we kill people daily. We kill them. Our testimony is severed and takes severe blows by the things that proceed out of our mouth, caused by these tongues and the deadly poison that sometimes that we project. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We are God's creation. When you are talking about or running down someone, you are talking and running down God's creation. When you are hammering them and you're on their case instead of praying for them, now I know there's times that situations where discipline has to be handed out, but it can be done in a manner that is in a loving manner, and it can bring a brother or sister back to Christ. It may be hard to start with, but if we're truly of God, then we can be reconciled together back into Him. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can't happen. It can't happen. We have to be one or the other wells. We can't mix our water. We're still contaminated if we have a little bitter with a lot of sweet. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Have you ever run into anybody that knows everything? Most of them you can tell because they tell you they know everything. And try to make you look belittled because you don't know the things that they know. Or that you've... My daughter told me one time I was full of useless information. They took me to the Pampered Chef party and made me sit there. I was in the living room and I was answering the questions to the cake game that they've got. I just thought about it. I like cake. Didn't take long. Sure, I was full of useless information. Sometimes if you listen more than you talk, you get a lot of useless information. And you're able to share it with others. That's why he told us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. But anyway, just so you know that I am full of useless information. Full of some good information too. It's from the Word of God. It's from the Word of God. And that is what we need to have for the wisdom. With meekness. That we share the Word. Don't try to beat someone down because you know more Bible than they do. Don't try to embarrass them because you might have studied a little bit more. It's a learning process from the time that you're saved till the time that you die learning God's Word. I want to see a show of hands of people in here that knows everything about God's Word. Exactly. Even the preacher can't raise his hand. Because I don't know everything exactly about God's Word because it is new today for what this day holds. Little nuggets along the way are given to us, but that's through the meekness and the wisdom of God. I don't know it all, we'll never know it all, but one day I'm going to meet the one who does know it all. Amen. I'm glad I've got a spirit inside of me that teaches me, and when my mind and my body is willing to yield to the Spirit of God, I can learn God's wisdom. Through His Spirit, through God teaching us. But we have to yield to God. We have to be tamed by God. But if we have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. We can't serve God if we're having ill feelings toward people in church. We can't do it. I've been in places where that's happened, and you cannot have a church that will grow with bitterness and hard feelings. You cannot. When you have church members that will sidestep one another and will not shake hands with one another, will not speak to one another, God is not pleased with that. And God will not stay there long. His Spirit will leave. And it will not grow. It will slowly die. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. We can't lie against the truth. God knows what it is. He's got a book. It's got all the answers in it. Got all of our heartfelt desires, the things that we've done truly for God, things that we've done self-willed for the name. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Let me tell you, in some of our places of leadership, there is envy and strife. And therefore there is confusion in people's lives. If you don't believe it, you see how much they are trying to get away from God. Every day that we live, we see more trying to lead this country away from God instead of to God. If it was not for God, our veterans that gave their lives and protecting them, the ones that was able to return, to give to us the freedoms that we enjoy, we could be like a lot of these other countries in a fallen, desperate state. We are desperate. But thank God we are not falling completely down. We are stumbling and trying to find our way. Just as when we grow up, we try to find our way and we stumble from time to time. But as we look to God, He assures and sets our path in the right way. He removes those stumbling occasions that we can follow the true path of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's pure, the wisdom of God is. It's not mingled and mixed with man's knowledge and man's understanding. It's the knowledge of God, and it is pure. The understanding of God is pure. Then peaceable. The peace of God goes beyond all understanding that I have. I've told you that before. When I lost my sight and was blind, there was a peace that God gave me. I knew He had called me to preach. I know He didn't want me to sit around and do nothing on the sideline, that He had a job and a plan for my life, and I knew that He would fulfill that through me, ever how it was. There was times of ups and downs in 2002, great highs and great lows, but God was there through them all and has protected us and brought us to this place, and we learn to rely more on God when sometimes we physically can't see, we physically can't walk, or we're physically flat on our back. We finally look up and depend and learn how to totally depend on the Father. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. He doesn't smack us around with it. He speaks to our heart in a small, still voice, the understanding from God, that it may be gentle and easy to be entreated. You say, I can't understand the Word of God. It's hard for me to grasp its concepts. Start with little bits. Read and ask God, and the more you read and the more you study. And let me tell you, there's times that I've read and I couldn't tell you what I read. And you say, preacher, I can't believe it. Well, believe it, I'm human too. You ever sit there and read two or three chapters and don't remember anything you read? I must be the only one. Maybe two or three. But there'll be a time, and you may be someplace and not even be thinking about it, and all of a sudden a light turn on. And you're like, I remember that. I remember reading that now. And it might be right where you're at that point in time that you need that. And God uses that and brings it back to your mind to encourage you and lift you and give you hope that you'll be able to entreat that in your life. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. How many people this week heard somebody say, well, I'm not going to go to church with them hypocrites. Hey, it's too many in the house of God. Too many hypocrites. I ain't going with a bunch of hypocrites. Just remember, if there's a hypocrite between you and God, hypocrite's closer. You just remind them of that. The hypocrite's a little closer. But it ain't going to be partiality. Oh, they've got money. We better be good to them and invite them to church. Oh, they're poor as church mice. We don't need them there. Do we treat people that way? Treat them good because they might have a little money? Might think we're going to get a dollar. They might remember us when they fix their wheel. They're not going to. My Father owns it all. I don't have to have anything from anyone else. God's given me just exactly what I need. Guess what? He's given me a lot more than I need. He's fulfilled a lot of my wants and the desires of my heart. And sometimes I'm just like a spoilt brat. We all got to say amen because we've all been there. God, I need. God, I want. God, help me do this. And when He does, we fail to say, God, thank You. God, thank You. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. Do we try to make peace, or do we try to stir up trouble? Sometimes in bringing peace, we have to bring things to light that's not pleasant. But for the peace of God to be in a place, we have to be rid of iniquities. We have to be rid of unrighteousness. And we have to be truly following God. We have to, in our hearts, focus upon Him and Him alone. And Him be all truth and all men be liars. Now, there's a lot of people we know that we can count on because they do have the Spirit of God. They are truthful in all things. And that we can rely on. But it's only through God. It's only through God. At one time, our word was our bond, and it still should be that way. Not say, well, society's changed. No, we've got further away from God. That we don't live honorably in front of men or in front of our Father. And the only way that we can have these things in our life is to be a child of God. Morally, we can try to be the very best people on earth. But without Jesus, we can't live what is just told us in the book of James. James is a book of maturity for us as Christians. As we read and study it, that we grow up and move from the milk to the meat of the word that we've talked about before. Now, Olivia, she's starting to move from milk, not to meat yet. She don't have any teeth yet. But she's moving from milk to cereal. That little rice cereal, boy, that stuff stinks. I wouldn't blame her. She didn't eat any of it. Well, it smells awful. But she started eating that. And it won't be long and she'll be on a little more food and different things as she grows. We should be the same way as Christians. We start out as babes. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't be waiting for God to hand a bottle to you and put it in your mouth and have to go have your diaper changed. As we grow and mature in Christ, we have to learn that there's some meat that we need to take hold of God's Word. That we live honorably. That we don't do it with partiality or hypocrisy. That we do and live what we say and do who we say we are. That we do live Christ-like. Is it easy? No. No, because we're in a strange land. We are in a land that we're passing through. This is not our home. We're not familiar with the customs of this world, and we shouldn't get accustomed to them. We should strive for the customs of what home is. And by knowing what God is talking to us through His Word, we'll get used to those customs, and these will bother us more and more here. Let's don't get used to the dark. There was a song out many years ago, we're getting used to the dark. I'm still not used to the dark. I don't like the dark. I like to be in light. This time of year, it bothers me worse because it gets darker sooner and I don't like the dark. I got the same God and all of it, but I really like the light. I enjoy the light and thank God I'm going to a place where there is no darkness. There is no darkness. And friend, if you want to go with me, this morning Jesus has your ticket. Are you bound to your bed because of sickness? The sickness is called sin. You have to reach out and touch Jesus and ask Him to come in. He's already reaching down and knocking at your heart's door. He's gave you salvation full and free, but you have to receive it. It's waiting. But you have to open your hands and take it from Jesus. He'll give it to you freely. And I know you may hear the term that we say, knocking at your heart's door. What is that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Does it feel like this morning that your pulse rate's up about 120, 130? And you look down and if you see your chest and see your shirt and it's bouncing in and out and it feels like it's moving into your throat and if I don't give you the chance to move that you're just going to die where you're sitting, that's God dealing with you. That's God dealing with you. That's the convicting power of God. Embrace it because God loves you. And He's trying to bring you home. He's wanting to give you heaven and all of its riches that's there. The street of gold. The walls of jasper, the gate of pearl, around the throne room of God, a rainbow that's like a jasper. Mansions that are there waiting. But most importantly, your Savior that's waiting to welcome you home. And to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and say, that's my child, adopted into the family. Friend, He loves you this morning. Not only Him, but all Christians love you. Our hope is in that cross. that Jesus shed His blood on, that He saved the world if they'll only heed His call. As we stand to our feet this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, Jesus is standing with His arms open wide, still waiting to receive you in. If there's breath in the body and there's conviction in the heart, God can save you this morning. But you have to heed His call.